Welcome to the Football Fill-In, everybody. The international break is over. Thank goodness. Premier League football has returned and we might have just witnessed the best overhead kick in Premier League history. Yes? No?
Yes.
Yes? No? 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 Maybe.
Technically.
Maybe. Newcastle absolutely pumped Chelsea. Man City sort of dropped points. It's been a good weekend of football. Football Fill-In, baby.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Right, we've got to start talking about Manchester United. Let's talk about your boys. We've got to start with that Garnacho goal. I said in the intro, it might be the best overhead kick ever scored in Premier League history. Is that a yes or a no?
Well, my little clip on the watch along, I think there are moments in football where we all prepare, don't we, even at the on the terrace. And when he did that, I was like, the brain moves so quick in football, doesn't it? Yeah. When he goes to do it, I was like, what the hell is he doing? And then you see it, you go... You go ridiculously high pitched and just what a goal. It was, I think technically, I mean, you'll be able to tell us more, Ben, but technically, I mean, I've tried that a few times. Oh. It's just right on, right, Rooney shins it. It's a brilliant goal from Rooney.
I think Garnacho might shin it a little bit.
I know, it's virtually impossible to get it on the perfect connection because your body's got to be at full stretch to do it. And the technique and the fact that Pickford just can't get anywhere near it. And in a lot of those goals as well are scored later in the game. So in the first 5 minutes.
Not in the first 3 minutes of a game.
I can't stop watching it.
He got up so high as well, didn't he? But it's one of those things, if it goes wrong, you look like an absolute...
Hello, plonker.
Yeah.
I bet there was a few Everton fans who, when he does it, are already standing up to go, and then they have to sit down. But I don't care who scores that. It could be Luis Suarez. I can't stand Luis Suarez. But if he scores that, I'd go...
Well done, mate.
It's an incredible goal.
I'm the same as you. When he starts winding up for it, I'm thinking, what are you doing? You absolute plonker.
You've got to have some nuts to do it.
You have got to have
some
nuts. To be 19 years old, to have the nuts to be able to do that in the third minute of a game. Yeah? Normally, you want to find yourself into the game, get loose, get warm, bit of confidence.
Have that.
And he's just gone, boom, have that. And honestly, you don't even score them goals in training, lads. I'm not joking you. You don't even score them goals in training. That is without doubt the best goal he will ever score in his life. Oh, I promise you this. I promise you. So was it better than Rooney's?
Yeah, I think 100%. Yeah? I think the thing with Rooney is that it was the occasion at Old Trafford in a Manchester derby, but he shins it and it deflects, the cross deflects, whereas the goal, when you take it back, Lindelof's ball to Rashford is brilliant, then the overlap, then the cross, then the technique, and the keeper's in a good position. I just think the goal is better.
It's an undefendable goal, isn't it? I don't care who you're playing.
It's a better execution of an overhead
it's
kick.
It's not a better celebration, though.
No. Absolutely.
It's definitely not a celebration. He's missed a trick there, by the way, isn't he?
Absolutely.
For Rooney to get up and just do that the way that he's done that, that's how you celebrate.
You can't buy the occasion, though, can you? I mean, look, that will never happen probably in a final with Garnacho in it, so he can't do it. He can only do it when it happens, but technically I think it's better. The interesting thing about Garnacho is about how good he can be, because I think his ceiling's really high watching him every week. And it's interesting with these players, isn't it? Beckham against Wimbledon as a teenager, and then Garnacho's had his moment. He's almost starting that documentary in 20 years' time on Netflix.
How good can he be?
I think for 19, physically he'll get better and ability he'll get better. I mean, we've seen it, haven't we, with Fabregas, and we've seen it with Lampard, and we've seen it with these Gerrards and Beckhams. When they're 19, there's so much growth till you're 23, 24. Yeah. And I think if he can nail down a place in that team. He'll be going to Real Madrid at 23. That's the problem.
Fair enough.
That will happen. That will happen. But I think he can be very, very special. Yeah.
What is the best overhead kick
ever scored?
Pelé.
In the Premier League. I loved, I don't know why, Christian Benteke's.
Oh, it was against Man United, wasn't it?
It was against Man United. Yeah. I don't know why. That was just such a clean strike.
Do you remember Dimitar Berbatov's overhead kick against Liverpool?
Bit crap, though.
No. But he was stood there. Like yeah, he's biting his toenail at the same time.
I'll tell you what, though. they didn't show it on, you know, like Sky yesterday. They were going through all these ones, and they obviously couldn't find the footage, because whatever you think about him as a person, Trevor Sinclair, QPR.
Oh, that is the best.
And it didn't even get shown. And I was like, that is the best.
That's the best without doubt.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's
unbelievable.
Who is it? Max Rushton always does this like overhead kick scale on Talk Sport, don't he? He does it in comparison to the Trevor Sinclair, because Trevor Sinclair is a 10 out of 10. And he's like, on a overhead kick like ometer, how close is that to Trevor Sinclair's 10 out of 10? And I'm with you. If you've not seen this one, by the way, we're talking 25 years ago, maybe. This is 25 years ago. So for some of you young ones listening, you won't remember it. You probably have never seen it. But go on YouTube quickly, search up Trevor Sinclair, overhead goal, overhead kick.
He's outside the box.
It's outrageous. That could be the best goal ever scored. I'm putting it out there.
It is.
That was a joke.
I'm with you. That is a joke. I think in the modern era, this is the best overhead kick in a good while. Few years. Doubt, it's as simple as that. It's a good few years. Let's talk about the game, though. Let's talk about Manchester United performance. I didn't think they were particularly brilliant. I think Everton at the end of that game, Sean Dyche in particular, will be looking at it and going, how have we just lost that 3-0?
Well, you said it on the United stand, didn't you? Everton have had this problem all season. They've got a ridiculous XG. If people don't know what that is, it means like they create loads of chances and they don't score goals. And I must admit, you know, United yesterday, it was just 3-0, but it could have been 4-all.
Yeah, it could have. But
Man United were ridiculously clinical. I think that goal obviously gives you so much confidence. 5 wins out of 6. All against bottom half teams. We've got Newcastle away next Saturday. I think that's going to be a really big test. It's hard to judge United, but Ten Hag has this amazing tendency to just accumulate quick wins, like he did it last season as well. So, you know, he's doing something right, but I do think United are still on the verge of getting an absolute tonking by somebody. And I don't think we're anywhere near top four. But it was a good result. Like, it was a really good result.
But, excuse me, what do you make of Rashford? Because I think I just try and look at him as a human being at this moment in time. And I feel like he just does not look like he's enjoying anything at the minute. Do you know what I mean? He scores a goal. He didn't look particularly happy. The way he runs around the pitch, I just get this sense that he's just not enjoying stuff at the minute. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he has come out in the past, hasn't he? And said, you know, that his mind wasn't on football. Yeah. So I just want everyone to be okay in the world. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So more importantly than football, I hope he's actually mentally okay.
Yeah, sure.
But I thought what Bruno did was a touch of class.
Giving him the penalty.
It was a touch of class. You can say what you want about Bruno, but that shows good leadership qualities.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know whether you saw that as well, because I'm a massive fan of Roy Keane. I love him. Probably my favourite player.
Yeah.
And he has got a problem with Bruno Fernandes. You know, on Sky yesterday when they said that he was out, you're having a joke. You know, that's a, and it's like, obviously he's got what he might know something I don't know, but like I think Bruno Fernandes does get a hell of a lot of stick, and that is a captain behaviour there. They say he's petulant and stuff, but to do that in a game like that, because he knows Rashford needs that.
Yeah,
That's about being a team player, isn't it? And I think, you know, people listening might not like Bruno Fernandes, but from a leadership point of view, he should be, you know, commended for that.
Absolutely. But don't get me wrong, he doesn't cover himself in glory.
No, sometimes
Fernandes going around, he sometimes doesn't act like a captain, you know, when he's trying to kick everyone. He's you know, giving it to his teammates and sulking and stuff like that. But that's because he's a winner for a start. But you could argue that's not captaincy tendency.
Yeah.
Yesterday was. That's class.
I totally agree. I love that. And I agree with Roy Keane to an extent. I really do. I'm with Roy a little bit. I think if you're a captain, you have to lead by example in everything you do. Yeah. Absolutely everything you do. So giving the penalty to Rashford, brilliant. That's captain behaviour. Mm. But then flinging your arms around and the little chirping and
But Roy Keane's at St James's Park throwing a ball at Alan Shearer's face and getting sent off.
Yeah, but
this is my problem. Because I love Roy Keane, I know I love Roy Keane stamping on Gareth Southgate and stuff like that, because it's pure passion. And I think I understand where Roy Keane's coming from, because he cares and he knows what a United player should be. But he also had a horrible side to him.
Yeah, he did.
Which we loved.
He did. But he could back it up, Roy Keane. Roy Keane,
I think that's his point, isn't it?
Roy Keane is not acting any of that, all right? That is genuinely from the soul. He means this.
You can see because he's frothing at the mouth.
Yeah, he's frothing. Like, this genuinely means
And I loved it.
it. Whereas Bruno, it's all an act. It's theatrics. Like, it is just for the cameras. It is. It's pathetic. You don't need to do that, Bruno. You're a world-class footballer, and I guarantee if you just let go of the theatrics, you could be an unbelievable captain as well. Brilliant. That's all it is.
It was brilliant yesterday, though, wasn't he? Yeah. He had the penalty. He created the penalty. He created the third goal.
Did you see that run as well he made when Rashford should have tried to square it?
Yeah.
I didn't know. He's got a bit of pace about him, old Bruno. I didn't realise. I thought he was... I didn't know.
Well, what do you make of the points deduction for Everton? Because I thought this yesterday played into Everton's hands massively. I thought this was going to be a cauldron. I thought it was going to be horrible for Manchester United to go there. It always is a difficult place to go to anyway. But I just thought that it feels a little bit unjust to me with how harshly they've been treated. And I think everybody at this moment in time is probably on the same page where they're like, I kind of hope Everton can avoid the drop now because of this.
I don't think it's harsh. I think that what's harsh is that Man City have got 115 teams. Charges and they're allowed to win a treble, whereas Everton sort of admit what they've done on a very small scale and there's your 10 points.
Yeah.
The system's broken. I think from Everton's point of view, if they've done something wrong, then they should get a points deduction because we want to see the
punishment.
We want to see a punishment. Yeah. Yeah. And I think they will stay up. I think the thing that would be irritating for Everton is that if they'd won yesterday and Luton hadn't won, they'd be out the bottom four, about the bottom three. But because Luton won, they're 5 points adrift and puts a little bit of pressure on them that they probably wouldn't be expecting. But they should be more than fine staying
up. Do you think they're still going to stay up?
I think they'll stay up. I think they've really built a strong bond there.
Yeah.
At Goodison Park.
That's Sean Dyche for you there.
Yeah, and I like Everton. I like them as a football club. They were great to work with when I was at Sky and stuff like that. But what I don't understand is, weren't Everton working alongside the board? And then they've just gone like 10 points.
Yeah, that's the bit about it. It was so sudden.
They complied and everything and then I don't understand where they got the 10 points from.
Well, what I would say is, though, if that's somebody working alongside them and being open and transparent, getting a 10-point gap, I'm sorry, Man City should be playing in the bloody Theodora League or whatever it is. Leamington bloody pub league. I mean, just boot them out. It's just...
Imagine Pep down Leamington like that. Yeah.
Well, it's happened before, hasn't it? It's happened with the likes of Juventus, Rangers, it's happened too. So it'll be interesting to see how it happens. Anyway, we're going to talk about Man City, Liverpool in a second. Just interestingly, though, the goal that Garnacho scored away at Goodison Park, he is now the youngest player to have scored at Goodison Park. You know who the previous youngest was?
Wayne Rooney
for Manchester United. There you go, just a little bit of trivia for you.
Good knowledge.
You could have not answered it straight away. Just gone,
Wayne Rooney.
Man City Liverpool boys. This one kicked off a super weekend of football. I did really enjoy this weekend. It was class.
I didn't. Chelsea got absolutely thumped.
Well, I've got a question for you straight away here, because Man City, who've had loads of decisions go their way this season, absolutely loads, they're all on Saturday on social trying to pile on that they're part of the VAR injustice now, which they've been ignoring for weeks because they've been robbed. They've been robbed because it shouldn't have been a foul on Alisson, which was given by the referee anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, when VAR overturns it, that's when you start being robbed. But as a goalkeeper, my thought was, it's his hands, he's grabbed his arm. I don't care how soft it is, it's a foul.
I'm proud of you. I am proud. You're evolving, you are. Honestly.
And it's City as well.
You are evolving.
Have a little cuddle, go on.
That would have been so easy for you to have jumped on the bandwagon there and slated Alisson. You know that, right? And I'm really, really proud of you. What I have to say is, right, it's a foul. Simple as that, it's a foul. And I'll explain why, okay? Until you've been a goalkeeper, until you take your feet off the ground and you have your eyes on that ball and you're putting your hands up there, the second somebody not even grabs your arm, yeah? And I mean this. If somebody gives you a little nudge in your waist, in your leg, if or anything, yeah? Your whole body just moves. It completely moves.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're trying to catch a ball that's travelling at, I don't know, 40, 50, 60, 70 mile an hour, yeah? The margin for error is so tiny. I mean, it is minuscule. To actually be able to catch the ball at that moment in time, once somebody's touched you, is near on impossible. It's hard enough at the best of times to just catch thing. But when somebody's nudged you as well, it all bets
the whole
off the
body
table.
Just stops.
Seriously, your body just goes. You lose balance, everything. So it's a foul. It is as simple as that. And I understand where people are coming from and saying that it's the tiniest of touches. He's only just grabbed his arm. It's enough. Honestly, it's enough.
But my problem with it as well is, it's like, you know, I get the Man City fans moaning about it, but it's the, let's be logical, Alisson's probably the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah.
It's a massive game. It's 1-0. He's not going to go to catch it and then feel a
Butterfly touch his arm and go, you know, he's going to hold on to it, isn't he? If he can, he's not going to drop. He's not going to take the foul risk, is he? He obviously impacted
him. He's a big, strong, proper goalie, Alisson is, yeah? And he, like, 99 times out of 100, that thing is a clean catch and he's on his way and he's trying to set up a counter-attack or something. The second somebody touches his lads, that's all there is to it. It's as simple as that. It might be the slightest of touches or a massive touch. It's still a foul because it knocks you off kilter. It's as simple as that.
What did you make of Alisson's performance at the weekend? Saying he's the best goalkeeper in the world. His slice led to the goal, didn't it?
I still think he is the best goalkeeper in the world. I absolutely love watching him. I love everything he does. I love how positive he is. And the goal that Man City score is from him trying to be positive. It's him trying to set Liverpool off on a counter-attack, which he has done so many times before and as well. And I love watching it because every time he does get the ball and he sprints out to the edge of the box, the amount of times that he manages to find Salah already on the run. It reminds me of like Van der Sar with Rooney back in the day, honestly.
I was going to say Goldbridge.
Really excited. And I'm like, here we go.
It's like they have this connection where as soon as he gets it and sprints, Mo Salah just goes, meet me, and just runs.
His ping the old is Schmeichel throws.
Schmeichel would throw it, Van der Sar would put it, do that half volley over the top for Rooney. It's the same sort of thing with Alisson and Salah. So I don't mind him doing that. And I guarantee you, Jurgen Klopp will still say to him, just keep doing that, mate.
His distribution was a bit off.
It was a little bit off on Saturday. But you've got to imagine, he's been travelling, it's jet lag, he'll be tired. The manager said it before the game, the fact that this was a 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday after a busy international break is it's a farce. It is. It's an absolute farce. Won the game. This game should have been in a few weeks' time for one.
Yeah, I agree.
But even if they are going to play it this weekend, they need to make sure it's like the 4:30 kickoff on a Sunday evening or something.
Well, they wouldn't have trained together at all, would
they? No chance. Well, this is an interesting question. Actually, Luke off camera, he said to me, when's the latest you've seen a player come back in after an international break? And I was thinking, mate, they come in like that. I'm talking like last minute. I remember being at Watford and Ismaël Assar, he would go away with Senegal, right? And they wouldn't play their game until like late hours of Wednesday or maybe even to Thursday sometimes, right? Yeah. He would be arriving on Friday afternoon after training. So say we've got a game on Saturday, it could be a 12:30, it could be a 3:00. He would walk in the building once we've all finished training on Friday afternoon. Honestly, so what chance has he got? One, he's jet lagged to heck.
Yeah.
He's absolutely knackered. He's stiff as a board. Honestly, you can see him sort of like creeping in because he's been on a plane and he's been on a car for all the way from whatever airport. He walks in, he's stiff as a board, and they're like, how do you feel? And he's like, well, my hamstring's tight. This is tight. And it's like, well,
you're playing.
Yeah. Can you please play? And he's like, I don't know. I really don't know. I haven't even thought about it yet. But that's the problem with it all. When you have these players that are playing in South America and all over Africa, it really does affect him. And there's so many times where he wouldn't have been able to play on the Saturday because he only walked in the door on a Friday afternoon. Something needs to change with it. They do. They need to change it where an international break, they play the first game on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and then the second game on like a Friday or a Saturday or something like that. They need to get the games done so the players can all be back in the door on a Tuesday or Wednesday building up to the next Premier League matches.
Yeah. Why is it that hard to figure out, though? Because this conversation's been going on for years.
I think it's the South American teams, isn't it? The South American, because it's ruled by a different, I don't know, whatever governing body or anything, they choose when their games are going to be played. So they're still playing games on like a Wednesday, aren't they? The Premier League kicks off again on the Saturday and they're still playing games on a Wednesday, which is it's just absolutely...
Well, we still live in a world where the African nations are playing right in the middle of our season, aren't they? It is silly. But I mean, the only other two things I would pick up on is there was two things that annoyed me from that game. One was the Alisson save from Foden, which I thought was brilliant.
Oh, just went under the radar.
It's completely under the radar. And then the man of the match being given to Trent. I just think it's like Garnacho got it yesterday. I used to grow up with this, watching TV when I was like 8, 9, and they just give it to the goal scorer. And I'm like, we're better than that now. You've got social media. Everyone's playing Fantasy Premier League. We're intelligent enough to be given. It wasn't Trent because he scored a goal. It was Aki because he created a goal. He played really well. He kept Salah really quiet. And I thought, you know, but apart from that, I think it wasn't even in the top 5 games of the weekend, unfortunately.
No, it wasn't. It was a good game. I thought Man City absolutely bossed it. They should have.
But you know, on that though, interestingly on that, when you think back about it, I was just thinking when you were talking then, Liverpool, when you think about it, apart from that save and the goal, Liverpool actually created better opportunities.
They,
But Man City did have more of the ball.
Man City dominated the game, didn't they? I think that's the part of it, is Man City dominated the game. When Liverpool scored, which Liverpool seemed to be quite good at doing this, by the way, is sort of staying in a game. Just staying in a game, Newcastle. Staying in a game. Exactly that. And then when they get that opportunity, boom, they took it. And I'm with you a little bit. Given Trent the man of the match, it's sentiment more than anything, isn't it? Because he's been through a bit of a tough time with this, with England, with not starting and what's his best position. The goal was fantastic. The touch and the goal was fantastic.
It's the speed of
how quickly he takes all of it. The goal, he doesn't get a chance to set properly. He doesn't even know it's coming. It's very similar to Ollie Watkins' goal, actually, against Tottenham for Villa. Yeah. When the ball gets played into him, he takes a touch and it's bang. Mm. The goalie doesn't get a chance to get set, and that's the bit that kills you as a goalkeeper, because you don't know that it's coming.
Absolutely. Haaland. 50th goal, wasn't it? 50th goal in 48 appearances.
In 48. I think it's something like
sick, 17
appearances less to score 50 goals than the next one, which I think was Andy Cole. Yeah, Andy Cole, which is just, this guy, is he going to go on and break every record? If he stays in the Premier League, he's going to break every record, isn't he?
He won't stay in the Premier League.
Really? Where do you see Haaland going?
Real Madrid.
Yeah. When, though?
2 years?
2 years, yeah.
What, 2 years? Just rip it up. Score 50 goals.
Thanks for coming. Premier League completed it, mate. See you later.
With all due respect, though, he's not at a Premier League club that's going to make him go. He's not at Liverpool, is he? He's not at Man United. He's not at Arsenal. It's Man City.
Yeah. And
Pep's there at the end of the game wanting the crowd to be louder. These players play for Man City. We see that. But I don't think they're going to go, I want to be here for 10 years. I think he's going to go, right, completed it. Let's go to Real Madrid.
Oh, if he went to Real, it would be similar to what Ronaldo did. He will go to Real Madrid and he will be scoring again. 50 goals a year, 60 goals a year, every single season.
He's a sick man.
I think Man City would miss him, though. And don't get me wrong, Man City got a world-class team, and everybody could say, doesn't matter who you put up front for Man City, they'll always score goals.
Not that many.
But if you've got to rely on like an Alvarez, or even if they go and try and buy a top striker, that's going to impact
so
Man City.
So powerful, is Willie. It's not just that as well. You see him coming out for the second half or walking off the pitch. He's a real leader as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's like really pushing his teammates. And he's a monster, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a monster.
He's clever, boys. Good talk. Right, let's move on to your boys then, Tubes. Your boy, this is a world-class show, by the way. We're so decisive today.
It's been a while since I've been here and I've missed it. So thanks for having me back.
We've missed you too. I'm sure everybody else at home has as well. Let's talk about Chelsea then, Tubes.
Let's not.
Mate, we did Mark's predictions on his This Is Football last week.
Yeah.
And I went for a Chelsea win. I think you went for a draw, maybe.
I just really fancied Chelsea
Newcastle
got injuries. Wow. And then they go and get absolutely thumped.
Deservedly so as well. Your defence was terrible. Every goal was a mistake. Yeah.
I mean, I'm never going to slate Thiago Silva because I think he's been...
Allison effect. Does he still play for Brazil, Thiago Silva?
Do you know what? I don't know. I'm never going to slate him, but you know, that's a terrible mistake. You know, Reece James getting sent off. We just look dishevelled again. I don't get it. It's like we're now a team that gets really up for the top 14.
Yeah, and then when they play somebody that's sort of like...
No, it's same.
You might be able to get a bit of expectancy.
Yeah, I don't...
Do you think the international break screws you a bit, though? Because I looked at the midfield.
It screws everyone, though, like, doesn't it?
He can't pick Casido, presumably because he's been travelling a lot. And I think, well, that just completely... I don't know whether that was the case, but he's on the bench, Casido.
Yeah,
Newcastle, you've got to... Why not pick him?
With all due respect, Casido hasn't set the world alight.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, like, our best player, our best midfielder has been Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
By a long way, I think. So I don't think it's Casido not play. It just looked like a mess. It looked like everyone was just sort of like, I'm just not up for it.
Weird, isn't it?
It's just so weird. But, you know, mistakes are mistakes. But just crumbled. No marking in the box.
Reece James, what do you make of him? Red card, mistake for the goal. Is he Chelsea captain material, Reece James?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah. But I always want a captain... who's really, really vocal, like your Roy Keane and stuff like that. And Reece isn't very vocal.
Yeah.
So
I think he's fell off Tubes, aren't he? I'm a big fan of his, but
he said it.
I just don't think he looks switched on. I wouldn't say it's as bad as what's going on with Rashford, but he just doesn't look like Reece James
a couple of years ago. It's a similar story to Rashford.
He looks like, I don't know whether the injuries are playing on his mind, maybe the pressure, maybe he's not happy with the setup since Todd Bowley's come in. But Reece James was always my number one right back for England because he's got the lot. And I've watched him the limited times this season
And you know, even the yellow, even the red cards, it's two yellows, isn't he? Where he's just got to be a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, concentration. Like that, yeah.
I mean, kicking the ball away is just such a stupid way to get booked. What's the point?
Hey, if I was a manager, honestly, if I was a manager of any football team in the world, right, I would say, if you get a yellow card for dissent, for talking to the referee, or for kicking the ball away, or for anything shit like that, basically, you're going to get fined a week's wages. I promise you, you'll get fined a week's wages, because those yellow cards will count up. What they'll go one, two, three, four, and then you'll miss a game. And because you miss a game because of something that you can change. You don't have to do this kind of stuff. You're doing it for the cameras. You're giving it the big one. You're acting up. Then you'll get a week's wages. And until somebody starts doing that, players will keep getting yellow cards for that. But it leads to a second yellow card, a red card in a game.
I think with Reece, I think he's top draw. I think he's top draw. And I think the injuries have done him no favours. I think give him a run of games and Reece James will be back. And I think he is captain material. I would have liked, personally, I'd like to see Thiago Silva make captain.
I agree.
For the next couple, well, this season and maybe if he stays next.
And
then Reece James. Going forward, Reece James is a Chelsea captain.
Why do you think, I mean, just very quickly to interject, you know, I watched Chelsea against Man City. They were brilliant. Spurs, they played well, but obviously Spurs, self-combusted, whatever you want to call it. But Newcastle, they were dreadful. Having been in dressing rooms, why Chelsea fans will be, tubes will be thinking, how can it be so inconsistent? Because that's the thing that hurts fans, when you see progression and then you take two steps back. What's going on there? Is it the international break, or is it?
I think it's a mixture of all sorts. But I think, obviously, you've got to remember, you're going away to Newcastle, and the atmosphere at Newcastle is like, oh, genuinely, lads, it's like not many places you will go to. It is so intimidating. And if you've got a bunch of lads that a bit younger, a bit sort of wet behind the ears, and you get off to a bit of a poor start, then it can really get on top of you. And I just think that's probably what happened to Chelsea at the weekend. The mistakes, like you say, the red cards, it was just a cauldron of it was just a mess. It really, really was. But I agree with you. I think with regards to the captaincy, give it to Thiago Silva, because it takes the pressure off Reece James.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Reece James has got so much to be contending with and dealing with anyway. He's had that many injuries. He's had to pull out the England squad. He withdrew himself from the England squad.
Southgate wasn't happy about that.
Of course he's not going to be happy about it, but that's going to be playing on his mind, I promise you, because now he'll be... If he has a bit of a bad performance, people will say, well, his head's not right, it's this and that. And it will all just keep building up.
I agree with him doing that, though. Not playing.
I totally agree. 100%. I do too.
They play too many games. He's had an injury career. His loyalty's got to be to Chelsea. Yeah. That's his bread and butter. And I think he was right to do that. And I thought Southgate was bang out of order for sort of going, you know, not long left.
Yeah.
When you're picking
up
Lenny Jordan Henderson.
I totally agree. And I think Reece James he's a Ferrari. He genuinely is a Ferrari. I think he is that good of a player when he's fit and he's firing and he's doing it properly and his head's in the right place. He is that good of a player, right?
Do you think they've heaped too much pressure on him?
I think they've heaped too much pressure on him, and I think they've probably rushed him back with injuries, and then they've just given him the captaincy and there's too much focus on it. He wants to just get back to playing football. Just get back to being the Reece James of a couple of years ago before all the injuries started.
And they could have said, Thiago Silva, or you're going to be the captain until you leave the club. Yeah. Reece is going to be the next one.
Take Reece under your wing.
And tell him what
take
you know,
him
you need
under
to be
that
doing.
Wing, get in there, and boom. This is how you do it, Reecey boy. Sweet, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, though, with Chelsea as well, £1 billion spent to not buy a striker.
Mark, please don't get me started.
When I used to play football like at a decent level when I was like 15, and I played for my Saturday team, we couldn't score. We were a good team, but we couldn't score. And it's so demoralising. When you keep getting chances and you know you've got to score and they don't score. And I just think with Chelsea, whatever you think of Nicholas Jackson, if you're in that midfield or defence, you're looking at it and going, please fucking score and give us a bit of confidence. And you know you're not scoring enough goals, and then the opposition starts scoring. As soon as Newcastle go 3-1 up, I was like, that's it. They're not going to score two.
It's so thick. It's so thick. It's like literally so
far. Well, I think if you had Haaland up front, I know he's the best, or Harry Kane, but you'd be up in the top four. Like everything else is around it.
It's so thick. We haven't got a billion pound. Mm-hmm. £1 billion.
Nicholas Jackson's the scorer of the worst hat trick I've ever seen, all right? Leave him alone, okay? Yeah. Did you see this with Mauricio Pochettino after the game as well? Obviously not very happy. Threatened to take away the day off that was promised to the lads. That's not going to go down very well, is it?
Don't know. You tell us.
It's not going to go down very well.
But what happens in that situation? Like, does a manager come in and go, you've all been absolutely pony, you were in tomorrow.
Literally
and then what happens after that? Everyone's
literally that. We've had that. I've had that so many times. So different football clubs give you different days off anyway. So if you're not in Europe, for example, and you're a mediocre team, of West Brom, for example,
it'd be a week off.
Yeah, you'll play Saturday. You're normally off Sunday, in Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, right? But if you have a really poor performance, and managers don't mind getting beat, they don't, right? It's when they can see that the players have just sacked it off, basically, haven't really put a leg in. That's when they'll take your day off. That's when they'll come in at full time and they'll go, you lot, you're bang out of order. You're bang out of order. You're all in tomorrow. You're going to be training, and then I'll see you on Monday, Tuesday, and then we'll see about Wednesday.
Will it be punishment training, as in runs?
Oh, yeah, it'll be punishment training. Right. It'll be punishment training. It won't be runs because you'll be at risk of injury, but the fact is he's making you come in.
Yeah, right, yeah. So it's all, not like you're yeah, going to get you
to not, it's not red arse.
No, it's not red arse. You're not getting whipped or anything like that. But the fact that you've got to then come in the morning is enough of a punishment, basically.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. And I think you can. There's a certain time for it and there's a certain place for it. I don't know whether he actually followed it through by what you said earlier. I don't think he actually followed it through.
No, they were off yesterday, Chelsea. Yeah. But also, you can imagine that working in 20 years ago. But the modern footballer now, they're so resentful and you know, it's not going to work. If it works, it's great, but I actually think bringing some of these players in, it's going to make them even more resentful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, that's the problem with modern day footballers, mate. They get paid so much money nowadays that they're just like, oh, well, what's the word?
Plus, it's not a great idea to say it in a post-match interview either. Well, it just causes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the sort of stuff. Keep it in house, keep it behind closed doors.
Can't knock Poch, he's trying.
Big
he's
win. Trying Brighton it. And then United.
Yeah.
Win both of them, you'd be right.
We haven't got a centre forward.
Oh yeah! Forgot about that. Oh yeah! Forgot
so did
about
Tom
that.
Bowley.
Tom.
We're gonna
move on and talk about the Premier League clubs all voting to be able to loan clubs from Saudi players from Saudi clubs and stuff. Quickly, give me a bit of Chelsea. What's a realistic season for Chelsea this year?
Realistic, a trophy.
Yeah, like a cup, league cup,
domestic
or something
trophy,
like that,
FA cup. And top six. I'd be delighted with.
Yeah, I think but most Chelsea fans would, wouldn't they?
I'll be surprised if we get top six at the moment.
That inconsistency that's killing
Depends
you.
Depends who we sign in January.
It won't be a striker.
Yeah, we don't sign strikers. Thick.
All right, let's talk about this then, because in the week, Premier League clubs got the chance to vote as to whether they are going to be able to loan players from the Saudi Pro League. Obviously, there's a lot of dual ownerships going on in the Premier League between likes of like Newcastle, and they've got affiliations to other Saudi teams, which makes it easier for them to be able to just loan who they want, basically. Let me just give you a list of some of the players that some of these teams can actually loan. Ruben Neves, Riyad Mahrez, N'Golo Kante, Brozovic, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, got that right in the first one. Frank Kessie, Koulibaly, Fabinho, Mane, Ronaldo, Benzema, the list goes on. Is this right and is this proper, Mark?
I think in its old format, I don't massively mind it. Man City have got a link up with New York and Girona. I mean, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But you've hit the nail on the head. I'm amazed at how many teams voted for this. When you look at the clubs that apparently stopped, and I think it only needed two more clubs to not vote for it, didn't it? Eight clubs voted to keep it. Man City, Newcastle, I understand. Burnley, Forest, Chelsea, Sheffield United, Wolves and Everton.
Yeah.
Anybody who's in the bottom half of the table, I don't know why they'd vote for this, because, I mean, it'd be interesting in January, but if Newcastle are owned by Saudi Arabia and Saudi Arabia have got all those players, if Newcastle go, well, Tonali's out for a year, let's get Ronaldo, Milinkovic-Savic and Kessie on loan till May, then that's suddenly probably going to bump Newcastle into the top four.
Well, Newcastle, the owners already own Al Nassr, Al Ahly, Al Ittihad, and Al Hilal in the Saudi League. So they've got four teams there. So basically,
they voted against it.
No, they voted for it. Yeah.
Right. So there's eight teams that voted for it, 12 that voted against it because they didn't want this to be able to happen.
Yeah.
But because eight have voted for it, that'll do now. Anybody can loan off anybody in the Saudi Pro League.
I think it's really interesting that apart from Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs, Villa, Manchester United, Brighton didn't vote for it, and they're all going to be racing Newcastle for that fourth spot. And it's fine as long as it's fair, but if Newcastle have got the Saudi League on lockdown, which they have,
they'll get the pick of
they can
they
take whoever they want. And there's a load of players that have probably been playing there for 5 months who go, I fancy 5 months in the Premier League.
A bit of competition.
What do you think about that? What do you both think?
I think it's
nonsense.
It's absolute nonsense, mate. It's mad now. It's like it's just stupid, it's bending the rules of football like it's always been. To be fair, it's similar to like what's been happening at Watford for years. So obviously the Watford owners own Udinese as well, don't they? The amount of transfers that have happened between Udinese and Watford, honestly, if you go and look at it, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's just a way of basically, you can loan one to there if they need a bit of strengthening in one position, or borrow one back if they need strengthening in one position. It's bending the rules, mate. It is absolutely bending.
When you've got a whole league to do. And
exactly.
I like Newcastle and I like what Eddie Howe's done.
Yeah.
Because they haven't got the money yet. And what he's doing is sort of despite the money, really. But when they start to get this, it's completely unfair on anybody in the Premier League when you've got one team that can just basically go to the Saudi League and just go, Mane, Ronaldo. Oh, it's going to be look, if it happens.
Imagine being a Newcastle player. And then you go, oh, we're just getting a few stars for 5 months.
That lad, haven't they? Miley Cyrus, he played 17 games.
What an assist at the weekend. Oh, he looks beautiful. Like an absolute player. But imagine being him. They go, oh, we're just going to get Fabinho.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't even give Newcastle any love for the weekend. We were only talking
Newcastle
about Chelsea. By the way, can we just say, I love watching Newcastle. I do. I love watching Eddie Howe.
Is it Lewis Smiley? Is their name?
Lewis Smiley. Lovely though, isn't it? How good is that? 17 years old and you're absolutely balling
around.
Fair
play, Shu.
Yeah, we like a wrecking ball.
No, the Newcastle were great. Good.
You're the boy you are. King of the one-liners.
Newcastle were good.
They were Chelsea, very, very
never write them off. Never write them off at St James's
Park. I love the tune. I love the fans.
But I won't love Eddie it if Howell. This comes in. I don't like that.
Well, unfortunately, it is coming in. We've got the quiz in a second. But do you know what will be interesting, actually, talking about this, is to see if the teams that voted against it, that didn't want it to happen, to see if they do go and get any players from the Saudi League.
Of course they will, 100%.
So they look nice and clean, like, oh, we don't want this to happen, and then give it a few weeks.
Yeah, they'll be
injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just borrow him? Can we borrow him, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, quiz time, boys. We ready? Oh, to know, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Let's get it on. Right, quiz time. Scores on the doors. Mark is on 4. I'm on 4. Tubesy's on 0. Because is this the first quiz you've done this year?
Do you know what? It might be, no.
He might have done one.
I think I've done one, Fillion.
Well, either way, you're not even in contention. But get involved. We want you to get involved still. So, Gemini, you got your 10 questions. Let's go.
Well, why is it 4-4, though? Because it was 4-3 last time I was here.
I won last week.
I wasn't here. Who did you play against?
Matt. What?
That's like Roger Federer playing against the bloody corpse. You can't have a point for that.
Hey, if you don't turn up, if you don't make the effort to turn up, yeah, then it's your own.
No one told me.
Well, right, well, Monday, same time every week.
It's the motivator now. Come on.
There was a bit of debate last week, wasn't it, with the questions and what I should have.
The wording of some of the questions was a little bit, but it's all right.
Controversial.
Yeah,
was
controversial.
Controversial, yeah. But hopefully I'll be on the good side today.
Come on
J-Dog.
Question one. What is the nationality of manager Roberto Martinez?
Belgian.
No.
Yeah, it is.
He's Spanish.
He's Spanish. He manages Belgium, doesn't he?
Good question. I had to wait with that one.
You went yes. You said yes. You shouldn't. Yeah.
1-0 to Mark. Question two. Which club has won the Premier League by the biggest title margin?
Man City.
Correct. Manchester City. They won it by 19 points, they did.
They did.
They did.
I think they're second as well for that.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I haven't done this for ages.
Oh, he's very competitive.
Who?
You.
You're the worst of all.
I'm relaxed.
Lies.
Question three. I'm going to butcher this. The Scudetto is the name given to the league title.
I'll tell you.
Serie A.
European city.
Serie A. Milan.
Italy.
He didn't say Italy.
He didn't say Italy.
He didn't say Italy.
I did.
He didn't say Italian.
I said Italian.
I said Serie A Italian.
Yeah, and it was Mark. I'm giving the point to
him. Oh,
sorry.
How bizarre.
Because he said which country, didn't he?
Yeah. Italy. Italian is not a country.
Yeah but you said
Serie A.
Definitely not.
Yeah, but everyone knew what I meant.
I did.
Do I get a half point?
As long as it's not Ben.
It's fine. Don't
so is Mark getting that point?
Mark's getting the point because Mark was first, yeah.
Sorry,
Jeeves.
That's all right, Jay. It's good to see you again, mate.
Oh.
Oh.
You're definitely going to get the next one now. You're definitely going to get the next one. You can answer it.
Question four. Dele Alli moved to Spurs from what?
And hit us. Oh. Mark. Luke said Mark.
Mark. Yeah. Mark again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Catch that. Right in the ribs.
Three.
Four. Oh, how I've missed the quiz.
Right.
Oh, how I've
Question
missed the quiz.
Five. Give you a hint. Do not dive in on this one.
What?
Can you name a German player who has won a Premier League medal who is not a Manchester City player?
André Schürrle.
Andre Schürrle is the correct
answer. Whoa!
What an answer.
Ring, nigga, ding, ding, ring, ding, ding.
4 points. He's retired now.
Oh, do you know what he does? He does mad. He does mad runs. Yeah. In the snow.
Yeah,
with
ultra
top
runs and stuff. Yeah, yeah, I see. He's probably retired, isn't he? Yeah.
Andre Schürrle. Wow. You should get him on the.
Is he the only one?
That's a great podcast guest. That's a great podcast guest. Yeah. Andre Schürrle.
Andre Schürrle. He does.
Robert Huth.
He does.
Yeah.
Oh. Jens Lehmann.
Jens the Lemon.
Lemon.
Michael Ballack, Andre Schürrle.
Nice, good question.
Jens the Lemon.
Lemon. Yeah. I think City was like Sané, Gundogan, and Ortega.
Nice.
Andre Schürrle.
Yeah.
And Jens the
3-1-1. Good,
question.
Good.
Come on.
Six. Bournemouth forward Justin Kluivert became just the second player to score in each of the big five European leagues in the 21st century. Who is the other player?
Oh wow! I read this the other day and I didn't. I thought he was. I think I read it as he was the only player to have done it.
Right, there is another player.
Yeah. Can read the question again, please, J Dog.
Bournemouth forward Justin Kluivert became just the second player to score in each of the big five European leagues in the 21st century. Who is the other player?
I can't get one who gets been in all of them.
I can give you a clue. X Man City.
Leroy Sané?
No.
No. Oh, is it Dzeko?
No.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Pretty sure he is. I'm pretty sure he is at XMC. Yeah. Yeah. He is.
Wow, this is really tough.
Really good question.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was going to say Giroud, but he's not played La Liga, has he?
No.
Don't know. Can't help you.
Stefan Jovetic.
Jovetic. Ooh. Yeah, good. That's a really
great
tough question.
Great question, Jay.
Very good question.
I love Jamie.
He's good, isn't
he? So 3-1.
Kiss him on his forehead.
Question 7. Which club has had the longest unbeaten run ever in the Premier League?
Liverpool.
Chelsea.
No and no.
Arsenal.
Correct.
Oh.
They went a whole season.
Yeah.
They went a whole season.
Oh, they're Invincibles.
Yeah. They went a whole season.
Oh, we give up. Mark, just take the trophy.
49 games unbeaten.
Yeah,
7th of May 2003 to 24th of October 2004.
49 games.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a joke, isn't it? That's a joke.
It's like a year and a half unbeaten.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, very good. 4-1-1. So you can only tie and go to a tiebreaker. Question 8. So you guys got to work together. Which Englishman has managed Charlton Athletic?
Alan Pardew.
Lee Bowyer.
Charlton Athletic.
It's not Alan Pardew or Lee Bowyer.
Nope.
Yes.
Crystal Palace.
Say it again. Start again.
Which Englishman has managed Charlton Athletic, Crystal Palace and Hull City in the Premier League?
Oh, I know it. No, I don't.
Charlton Athletic, Crystal Palace and Hull City.
In the Premier League?
In the Premier League. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Steve Bruce.
No.
Nope.
Ian Dowie.
Whoa, you're never getting that. God. You're never getting that.
These questions are unbelievable.
Wow. You're never getting that.
Wow,
exactly. That's ridiculous.
I've really enjoyed the calibre of questions.
Yeah. The chat are going to love this.
Right, question 9.
Ian Dowie started the word bounce back ability.
I was about to say that. It's true. I was about to say that.
Yeah. Do I get a little point for that?
Half a point.
Yeah.
Half a point.
Yeah. I don't mind. He deserves it.
Question 9. Which Midlands club are known as the Saddlers?
Walsall.
Walsall is the correct answer. Do you know why they're called the Saddlers?
Because back in the day they used to make horse things.
Yeah, horse saddles. Yeah, there we go.
Great knowledge.
I didn't as a guest. That just stands to reason, really, yeah.
I'm on the other bit of the pot, wasn't it?
Was that your question earlier that Mark knew straight away? You're like, did you know the other Wayne Rooney?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Great.
Question 10. 4, 2, 1. And a half. Which former Newcastle United and Manchester United striker appeared 15 times for England?
Andy Cole.
Scoring only once for Albania. Andy Cole was the correct answer.
Scoring only once for who?
Against Albania.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
Andy Cole.
Well done, mate.
Well, that's what happens when you do quizzes without me. You get me angry. And I just come in and destroy people.
Proving a point.
Mark's gone on to 5. I'm still on 4. It's fine. We had a nice time. Okay. Have you got the bonus question?
I do have a bonus
question. Go on, read the bonus question now. We're having a nice time.
Question 11. Reece James got a red card at the weekend, but who was the other player who got a red card?
Oh,
Lewis
Dunk.
Yeah, you got 2 yellows in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, Anthony Taylor. Yeah. We should have spoke about that on the show. Absolute joke. The referees want only the captain to talk to them, and then the captain's not very happy, so he gives him 2 yellow cards. Yeah. Anthony Taylor, have a word.
Give your head a wobble, Anthony. Thank you for watching, everybody. That's been the Football Fill-In. We will see you next week. Thank God the international break is gone till, when is it? March next one?
Yeah, March.
Love you lot. See you soon.
Jens Lemon.
Lemon.